Bashar, thank you for joining us. Bashar, share with us your thoughts on the world's first sovereign US dollar sustainability sukuk issued by the Malaysian government last week. What strikes you the most about the issuance?
Thank you for having me. It's really interesting from few dimensions, because Malaysia, when it comes to ESG, social, green, so one of the very few first issuances of sukuk few years back, but it wasn't on the sovereign side. It was on the non-sovereign side. And we saw few frameworks coming on, and they are encouraging such issuances within the country, but we did not see a sovereign one. Actually, the way that the first sovereign, for example, issuing green was actually Indonesia, which is something that we might talk about later. So I think this puts the Malaysian ecosystem and frameworks beyond the corporates and institutions with it. And now you have a sovereign that issued internationally under the sustainable framework, so which gives, I think, another push for that side of the industry. Maybe it's worth zooming in into how is the social, green, and sustainable in Malaysia. Malaysia is mainly, as I said, they've issued one of the first sukuk when it comes to social and sustainable and green. But that's driven by mainly the government. And the government as an investor in these sukuk are encouraging issuers to go and issue such instruments. Now it complements that and it's doing it itself, themselves. The dynamics is you don't have a lot of appetite from investors locally in Malaysia for green and ESG and social. The driver is still from the government. And until there is a broader push that goes beyond that to have a local investor that is sensitive to ESG related plus Islamic finance, I think we will continue to see instrument here, one instrument there, rather than a stream of instruments. And I think this paints the picture of where Malaysia stands after that specific issue was.
Mm-hmm. But how did that issuance fit into your outlook for the sukuk market globally? You talked about more green and sustainable sukuks this year. We also discussed that the last time we had an interview. Will we see more in the later part of this year when it comes to issuance of green and sustainable sukuks?
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question. Actually, if you look, compare Q1 2021, which is before the Malaysian sovereign issuance, we are already have outstanding sukuk globally of around 14.3 billion compared to the previous quarter, which was around 11.3 billion. So you're already doing a significant part. IDB, the Islamic Development Bank, actually issued a sustainable sukuk this year and the previous year. So there has been already issuances in that arena. Even in 2020, which was a challenging year, we saw airlines issuing transition sukuk. We saw the first corporate issuing green sukuk from Saudi Arabia. So the trend is there. And I think the momentum is really complemented with this, I would say, milestone for Malaysia. And that is something that is already representing a significant part, even from our rated portfolio. So we are talking now about around 10% or more of our outstanding rated portfolio of $120 billion being ESG sustainable transitional sukuk. That's significant. Mm-hmm. But the actual size of the whole outstanding sukuk globally, if you look at include everything, you're talking about $715 billion, and you're talking about 14.3 billion of green and sustainable. So still small. Mm-hmm. From that bigger pie, but it's growing, and it's growing steadily, specifically in the past 3 years, and we expect that trend to continue.
And this sukuk issued by the Malaysian government was oversubscribed by 6.4 times. What does that tell us about the appetite for green and sustainable sukuk?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think you need to tie that. So putting the credit story aside, so whether it's a sukuk, bond, or green, you don't have a lot of track record that is proving, because as we're saying, it's limited. So you don't have a really clear track record to say that if you're issuing green or sustainable or social, you will definitely get a better pricing. We are looking at that and we're monitoring it. And we're seeing how is that impacting. But you can tell that it is really broadening and diversifying the investor base. And that by itself is an important point in many other factors. But we don't have yet the depth and the significant track record that allow us really to compare and contrast and say how much is really this is having an impact on the pricing and the cost.
But does that also show a certain confidence in the Malaysian government now that many governments are moving forward towards registering recovery this year?
I mean, I think that specific issuance is put aside, but looking at the government, I think the credit story of the government is where we rated. We rated a BBB plus stable outlook. That is the credit story. So the credit story, so the appetite, let me put it that way, the appetite of investors really varies, not only on a specific country, so for countries, for sovereigns, for corporates, and in various levels. So whether it's an investment grade or a speculative grade, there is an appetite, and that appetite is transformed in a different pocket for each of these categories. So I would say it's a different story if you're talking about the credit strength, because there is usually no implication from an issuance being green or sustainable on the credit side, and that is a different story than the actual sustainable or green or transitional as we've seen so far.
And the Indonesian government is also planning to issue a Wakala Global Sukuk in the first half of this year, and is expected to be bigger than the last year's Green Sukuk. How does this Sukuk compare to the one, or this Sukuk issued by the Malaysian government, compare to the ones issued by the Indonesian government last year?
Yeah, I mean, as you correctly said, they've issued last year, they issued even the year before and the year before. So the Indonesian government, they have already a track record, and they're tapping the market more and more with that instrument of Sukuk and green, where Malaysia chose the sustainable side. And this is the first one. So let's see if this is something that's going to be a trend or it's going to be a one-off. Because as you know, Malaysia is not very active in the international market, issuance market. And this issuance comes after a long period of no issuance. So the key difference, okay, you can say this is green, this is sustainable, but also, is this a trend or a one-off? Because for the case of Indonesia, they've been doing that for the past few years. It is something that is now known for the investors and known for the market. It would be interesting to see how is this gonna be panning out for Malaysia, and how is it gonna be a trend or a one-off, and how is the progress going forward?
I know we want to talk about Sukuk during this interview, but let's talk about Wakaf as well. I think the Malaysian government also talked about Wakaf and how that could help fund initiatives, including education and healthcare. How will this support recovery? Will this help the government, seeing how the government is also spending so much on fiscal measures to help with the economic recovery? Can instruments like this help and support the government's effort to focus on social building good social nets for the people?
I mean, I think going beyond just Islamic finance and looking in Maqasid Sharia and the value proposition of Islamic finance is something that the government has been focusing on for some time. So I think this is an extra step that they're looking at. Now, how successful are they going to be able to do that? Is definitely on the social side is really helpful. You're institutionalizing something that can be used for the benefit of the society. So it is purely, so waqf or zakat or sadaqah, it is directed to the society and the more less privileged of the society. So it hits that, I would say, severely impacted line. So if this initiative is successful, it is something that will actually have an impact on that. Now, the size of that impact will depend on how much is going to be, how much momentum and how much leverage is going to be used below that. And it's an interesting initiative. I mean, we saw Malaysia doing very few things before and succeeded on the Islamic banking, Takaful, Sukuk. It will be interesting to see if they are going to go into this, I would say, not very much explored area, which has a lot of potential. So it's definitely an interesting development that worth watching, and directly heads to the needy of that impacted line in this society.
And Bashar, what are the green credit instruments in Islamic finance that also be explored this year? Share with us your thoughts.
So, I mean, the thing is, so whether it's green or sustainable or transitional or social, we've seen a lot of these instruments coming. And many of them is a first. As you can see, we say the first in Saudi, the first sustainable, the first of the Malaysia, the first of the government. So I think we still have a lot of ground to see more firsts. And this is something that we will expect. There is other many countries that are active in Islamic finance and yet not explored. So if you look at the GCC in general, for the Sukuk universe, the sovereigns there did not issue yet a green or a sustainable. It's more on the corporate side where they've issued the green and sustainable. So that is something to watch. They are trying to develop their framework. Malaysia has its own framework. There is agendas, there is strategies, but the key thing is, are we going to be seeing these translated to the ground? So I would say in the medium term, we might see new entries from the governmental side, but in the short to the medium term, I would expect that this will be driven more from the private sector, so corporate side, maybe financial institution side, seeing more diversity, more new sectors coming into the market. So we saw an airline, we saw a real estate, we saw electricity company. So we could get a more diversity in that until we reach a situation where actually we have a first sukuk coming from a GCC or a Middle Eastern government.
And Bashar, finally, according to your Fitch Rating Sovereign Sukuk Dashboard 2020 that was published, I think it was yesterday, the outlook that was stated in the report was we expect sukuk issuance momentum to be driven by the need to diversify funding and meet upcoming maturities along with intact investors' appetite, less pandemic-related support, and economic recovery and higher oil prices could result in lower financing needs for sovereigns. Do we expect less issuance if oil prices go higher and the economy do well in the, perhaps the second half of this year?
So that's an exactly. So that's an interesting, this is why we've published that report. So yes, oil prices are better. Yes, there is a recovery, but it's not yet at a level where governments don't need funding. It's not yet at a level where the recovery is really taking its toll and moving to. So I would say, yes, we could see some governments or few governments that might have less needs. But you have to bear in mind there is two factors, even for these governments. The need to diversify funding. So regardless of oil prices, the governments are trying to diversify funding and tap into the market regardless of oil prices. That's one. Secondly, the upcoming maturities. So you have significant maturities that are coming that needs to be refinanced. Mm-hmm. And we think that the majority of these will be refinanced through capital market. Thus, part of that will be going to school. The third dimension, which is different than these governments, the one-off issuances. So we saw the UK coming to the market. We saw the Maldives coming to the market. We saw Malaysia coming to the international market, which is, again, all of these will support the momentum in 2021. And we expect that this momentum will be maintained throughout the year.
On that note, thank you very much, Bashar, for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, sir.